Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-wah! I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Did you know that in 1940, just over 11 million women were employed outside the home? And by the end of World War II, that number was over 20 million? And part of the reason for that jump was the Rosie the Riveter campaign from the Office of War Information, which was determined to get more women to work and free men to fight. After all, somebody had to make the weapons, tanks, and aircraft that the menfolk were using to fight the war, and those were the WOWs, W-O-W, or Women Ordnance Workers. We salute them. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine Vet Skip Coriel. Skip, given the focus of many of our liberal people in government to replace more restrictions on citizens' possession of firearms, how's your firearm training business going?
It's going pretty good. Actually, Colonel, there's really two things that make my business really go up. One is every time the government tells people they can't have guns, they want guns. And I think that's just an American thing. It's kind of an attitude that we have. What? You're telling me I can't do it? Well, then I want it. And then the second one would be the high crime rate. And it's just going crazy across the country right now. Mass shootings everywhere. Murder rate gone way, way up. So my business is doing quite well, I have mixed feelings about that, Colonel.
Well, I understand that. And did you notice that there's a sheriff's department here in the state of Michigan where they can't afford the gas to respond to calls?
Yeah, fortunately, it's not close to where you and I are, but still, I think it's a trend that we're going to see more and more of.
That's why I am deciding to keep my firearms.
Good. That's why you're an officer. You are so smart, Colonel.
Flattery will get you everything, young sergeant. Here's what we have for you today. A news and comment by the colonel. I'm going to discuss the very serious problems that aren't being addressed at my alma mater, the U.S. Military Academy at West Point. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom, and Marine General Arnold Panero will provide his insights into our nation's problems. Next, Patrick Girondi will share his book about never giving up, The Flight of the Rondon. And we'll meet First Sergeant Roy Walters, who heads Fort Leavenworth's Mounted Color Guard. And next, Marine Vet Chris Whitmore, who was a scout sniper, will share his book, Terror to Triumph.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. And head on up to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com. Or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. We'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, the Pentagon will keep providing abortions in the limited circumstances allowed under federal law, despite the Supreme Court's recent reversal of Roe versus Wade. Gilbert Cisneros, the Defense Undersecretary for Personnel, admitted the reversal of the landmark abortion ruling, quote, will have significant implication for our service members, dependents, other beneficiaries of DOD health care services, and civilian employees, as well as the readiness of the force, unquote. Over a dozen states have sought to impose abortion restrictions since the Supreme Court sent that policymaking authority back to the states, establishing potential situations in which service members could be stationed in a state that doesn't allow them or a family member to get an abortion. The department, under federal law, is only able to provide abortions in cases of rape, incest, or in a situation in which the life of the mother is at risk. Quote, the Supreme Court's decision does not prohibit the department from continuing to perform covered abortions consistent with federal law. There will be no interruption to this care, Cisneros said. Healthcare providers will continue to follow existing departmental policy, and the leadership of military medical treatment facilities will implement measures to ensure continued access to care, unquote.
Well, this makes it clear, if there was ever any doubt, that the Pentagon and other leadership in our nation does not favor the court's decision. The Supreme Court very properly overturned Roe versus Wade, which was decided contrary to our Constitution, as we discussed last week. And Mr. Cisneros was really stretching things when he said the court's ruling would affect, and I quote, the readiness of the force. Baloney.
Last month, throughout the second consecutive night of riots in Portland, Oregon, following the Supreme Court's overturn of Roe v. Wade, Antifa militants wrongly targeted a pro-abortion pregnancy facility and what is being described as a violent attack. Maura White, the executive director of the Mother and Child Education Center, said to Fox and Friends that demonstrators attacked her center on Saturday after they mistakenly thought that they were anti-abortion. White explained that she is a pro-choice liberal Democrat.
Almost without exception, violence in our nation comes exclusively from the political left. Somehow the media and many prosecutors seem to have missed this. So have many of our senior elected officials. This kind of violence is evil and wrong and needs to be condemned every time at every level.
Former White House coronavirus response coordinator, Dr. Deborah Birx, revealed that the federal government was relying on hope that COVID-19 vaccines would prevent infection when officials publicly stated that Americans who received the jab would become immune to the virus. The admission came during a line of questioning by Representative Jim Jordan, who inquired to the former Trump administration official, quote, "When the government told us that the vaccinated couldn't transmit it, was that a lie or is it a guess?" Unquote. "I think it was hope that the vaccine would work in that way," she replied. Dr. Birx's comments follow a host of studies determining that the COVID-19 vaccine doesn't confer protection as comprehensively as natural immunity. Data during the Omicron surge also showed that vaccinated people in Germany comprised the overwhelming majority of individuals contracting the variant.
And despite what we know to be very, very weak science, we're still throwing good people out of the military and out of the medical field if they won't get this hopeful shot. We have to stop this idiocy.
As the U.S. military's focus on competition with China grows, our special operations community is investing in a softer skill to counter Chinese influence in the Indo-Pacific region. At a Senate Armed Services Subcommittee hearing in late April, leaders of our special operations community highlighted the importance of and need for special operators who are proficient in foreign languages. During the hearing, Brigadier General Jonathan Braga, commanding general of U.S. Army Special Operations Command, said the units he commands, including the Army Special Forces Groups, Civil Affairs and Psychological Operations Teams, are arguably the most proficient and invested in language skills within the U.S. Special Operations community. Among those units, Braga said language skills are maintained throughout sustained training and are tailored to specific regions because those units stay regionally aligned. U.S. special operators have a worldwide presence and are deployed to over 60 countries at any given time where they train foreign forces or participate in deterrence and combat operations. Braga said that despite putting a lot of effort into language skills, members of our special operations community can't speak the language of every country to which they might deploy. Quote, "They're operating around the globe," unquote, supporting the priorities of every combatant command, Braga said. "But language is absolutely critical to being part of that interoperability. It's not just equipment, and it also shows that you care."
This is very true, but it's something our special operations troops have been doing for generations. They're very good at what they do.
Just months after the Navy announced a record recruitment bonus, the Sea Service has made a series of policy changes aimed at decreasing the speed at which sailors leave the Navy and a further sign that the branch is struggling with recruitment and retention of service members. The changes include moves to let sailors keep serving longer, the ability of sailors to apply for a delay in separation or retirement, and an offer to waive high year tenure requirements, as well as a measure to prevent sailors from leaving the fleet early. The goal behind the change is to ensure the Navy remains fully manned and operationally ready. These changes are being announced in the middle of what Lieutenant General David Acquignone, the Marine Corps officer in charge of manpower, called arguably the most challenging recruiting year since the inception of the all-volunteer force.
I'm betting the major problem is the requirement to take the COVID shot, which most people know is outdated and can cause real harm. That and the other really unprofessional actions by the high-ranking people, both military and civilians. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk with General Arnold Panaro. At ease, troops, take a break. Day 3 Creation is a Christian family-owned provider of American-made, non-intoxicating, non-addictive CBD products. Our Get Relief, Give Relief program sees that 10% of all profits go to Patriot Paws, providing service dogs at no cost to disabled veterans to help restore their physical and emotional independence. Giving is an expression of our thankfulness and praise to God as we recognize that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Visit day3creation.com to learn more. God bless.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. I'm often asked, at what age should you start teaching your kids about guns? There's no magic age, as all kids are different. The most important thing is to teach them gun safety. Teach them never to touch a gun unless mom or dad are supervising. And always keep your guns locked up in a quality gun safe where kids can't get to them. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
HelpVet.net is a national help center helping the military community with all of your everyday needs. Whether you need a realtor, an attorney, health-related services, or information on retirement planning, financial resources, or more, our vast network of hand-picked qualified service providers are waiting to help you. With up-to-date military news and resources, you can find answers to all of your daily needs at HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net wants to thank you for your service, and may God continue to bless the U.S. of A.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we can't feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Three retired U.S. military officers, Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney and Army Major General Paul Valley and Colonel Andrew Omea, Jr., recently signed a letter authored by concerned graduates of West Point and the Long Gray Line, protesting against mandatory vaccinations, CRT classes, sanitary conditions, progressive political activism, and other woke actions in our military academy. The Long Gray Line refers to West Point graduates. That's me. General Valley said, quote, "We want to challenge the leadership of the Academy and the Department of Defense on their woke actions, CRT, diversity training, and the other discrepancies in the Academy. We found it pervasive at the Naval and Air Force Academies, so we knew it was directed from the highest levels of our military leadership. We all want the military to get back on track to training and leading our armed forces to secure America and its citizens," said Valley, who has been sounding the alarm of a clear attempt by socialists to take over our nation. The letter, titled Declaration of Betrayal at West Point and the Long Gray Line, asks the West Point leadership for the following information. 1, an explanation for the irregularities in the enforcement of the honor code. And a justification for the mandatory vaccinations of cadets with the COVID virus, despite widespread adverse reactions to the inoculation, as well as provisions for exceptions for cadets with religious objections. And an explanation for teaching critical race theory at the Academy that constitutes an attack on the Constitution and our constitutional republic. This is behavior that constitutes unconstitutional conduct, if not sedition. And an explanation of the reported mismanagement of the cadet dining facility, resulting in unsanitary conditions, inadequate food preparation for the meal, and food served that was reportedly unfit for consumption. And political activism on the part of the civilian faculty members constituting political activity violating the longstanding policy of the Academy and Army regulations. And the practice of exclusive reliance on radical progressive guest speakers to address the Corps of Cadets. This practice results in prejudiced political activism on the part of the staff and faculty in violation of Army regulations. And finally, an explanation for the failure of the superintendent to respond to correspondence inquiring about the problems identified at the Academy. These officers and many others, including me, believe that there's a rejection of the principles of the military academy which endanger its mission, which is, quote, to educate, train, and inspire the Corps of Cadets so that each graduate is a commissioned leader of character, committed to the values of duty, honor, country, and prepared for a career of professional excellence and service to the nation as an officer in the United States Army, end quote. They sent the letter in the hopes that the authorities would take heed of their advice regarding the problems they spotted. The letter was sent to the superintendent of the academy, as well as the president and directors of the Association of Graduates, alleging the Academy is, quote, conducting business in a manner that ignores time-honored principles of the Academy, constitutional law, and our sworn oath of office, end quote. Quote, when you take away time to teach critical race theory and communist ideology, you're taking away time that could be better used for learning how to shoot better, how to operate airplanes better, take care of maintenance through maintenance, and even within the medical corps of the armed forces. It has affected the doctors and nurses. So it's a terrible thing. They need to stop it right now. They need to stop enforcing the mandates, said Valley. The Army's deadline for compliance for shot mandates was June 30th. This meant that every soldier must have the shot. Army officials publicly claim a small percentage of its members are unvaccinated, reporting 96% or more are fully vaccinated. However, insiders, who need to remain anonymous, have made it clear the rate is much lower. They also report that perhaps 1,000 soldiers have died from the shot, and many others have had very bad medical complications. And we do need to know why religious exemptions are virtually always denied. How can this be? Folks, the purpose of our military is to kill people and break things. If we're really good at this, then no one will abuse us. That's deterrence. A good combat force trains and works well together as a team. I've commanded 2 Army rifle platoons, 1 in combat, and I've commanded a rifle company in both the States and in combat. My units were very mixed in race and background, and they all functioned very well. But we weren't constantly being taught lies about how white people are privileged and how all blacks are abused by whites. We weren't taught lies about the founding of our nation being based on racism or the wonderful things about socialism. Thus, we were all proud Americans who loved our country and were ready to die to protect her. That kind of unit is getting harder and harder to find today. Hey, why aren't our senior military leaders fighting this? Why aren't our U.S. senators and members of Congress fighting this? The COVID shot thing is not based on medical fact. It's pure politics. So is the critical race theory and the other woke crap that's being forced on our troops. Troops, please be sure your elected representatives know you won't tolerate this anymore. Let them know now. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. We get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby now. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, the future soldier looks like it will be significantly more lethal. The Army recently announced that the next generation squad weapon, the XM5 rifle and the XM250 light machine gun, will be replacing the current M4 M16 rifle and the 249 light machine gun. The Army is saying some soldiers are expected to receive the new weapons as early as the fourth quarter of 2023. And New Hampshire-based weapons manufacturer Sig Sauer was awarded the contract. Now, the new weapon system will use a 6.8mm family of ammunition instead of the traditional 5.56 that the M4 M16 is utilized. The 6.8mm is proven to outperform most modern 5.56 and 7.62mm ammunitions against a full array of targets. This will be the first time in our lifetime, well, at least the first time in 65 years, that the Army will field a new weapon system of this nature, a rifle, an automatic rifle, a fire control system, and a new caliber of ammunition. Army units that engage in close-quarter combat will be the first to receive the new weapons, including infantry, cavalry scouts, combat engineers, medics, and forward observers. According to Brigadier General William Boruff, the program's executive officer in the Joint Program Executive Office, the course of action to support readiness with the new ammunition is going to be carried out through a combined effort of the industrial base at Sig Sauer and the Army's Lake City Ammunition Plant. Now, this is going to be quite a feat, preparing a new weapon for fielding, starting with absolutely zero inventory, and the need to create and establish a completely new industrial base to support a new ammunition. Well, maybe the Army is just going to be able to pull this off. They've been able to do what they've done in a little over 2 years, in what usually would take 8 to 10 years. You know, it was 1964, before the Army entered the Vietnam conflict, that the M16A1 rifle was introduced into the service's weapons rotation. It was a significant improvement, well, at least some say that, of the M14 rifle, and it became the standard service rifle for soldiers. Now, more than 50 years later, in 2017, the Small Arms Ammunition Configuration Study identified capability gaps, and in 2018, they created the Next Generation Squad Weapons Program. During the prototyping phase, the new weapon system outperformed the M4 and the M249 in all ranges. More than 20,000 hours of user feedback from about 1,000 soldiers were collected during 18 soldier touchpoints and more than 100 technical tests that have shaped the design of this new system. The Army will continue to improve on the weapon system by combining new technology while decreasing size, weight, power, and cost. The XM5, which weighs about 2 pounds heavier than the M4, and the XM250, which is about 4 pounds lighter, are still in their prototype phase and may change slightly by the time it's out for mass production next year. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with General Arnold Pinero about our nation. Then we'll talk with author Patrick Ghirdani about his challenging book. All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. You are standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break, do another 30, then stand at ease. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show my friend, retired Marine General Arnold Pinero. Arnold served our nation in uniform, both in active and the reserve status, and as a high-level staffer in the U.S. Senate. He's now a consultant. Thanks for joining us today, Arnold. Glad you could be here.
Denny, always a privilege.
Arnold, please begin by giving us a review of your time in the military. Both you and I commanded rifle platoons in Vietnam a few years ago, right?
That's right, Denny. I graduated in 1968, which was the peak year of the draft, but I volunteered in the Marines and went to Vietnam as an infantry platoon commander, primarily focused in the Quezon Mountains, interdicting the Ho Chi Minh Trail, trying to keep the Chinese and the North Vietnamese from bringing resupply into the South. After that, ended up working in the United States Senate for 24 years, including as staff director of the Senate Armed Services Committee, responsible for all our national security and intelligence. And then went into the business world, working for a large defense and aerospace company, and a number of years back, started my own consulting company. So I've got a lot of experience in uniform, commanded the 4th Marine Division, the lead division in the invasion in the Battle of Iwo Jima in World War II. We just saw the other day that the last Medal of Honor recipient from World War II passed away, a great Marine that fought at the Battle of Iwo Jima, Herschel Woody Williams. And to show you the respect that our country has for this greatest generation, he will lie in state at the United States Capitol, remembering to the younger generation what July 4th and our independence is all about, Denny.
Yes, sir. And that's one thing we're not good at right now, is remembering, one, what a fantastic country this is, and yes, imperfect, but the best country in the world. And that's not just saying it because I'm here, it's because I've traveled the world. There isn't any place else I'd rather live.
I'm with you 100% on that. You and I've had the good fortune to be able to have the freedoms to go to other countries, whether we were serving in the military or just the freedom to travel. But we have people wanting to get into this country every day. We're welcoming some of the refugees from Ukraine that basically don't have the freedoms that they have a country, Russia, unprovoked invasion that's slaughtering innocent women and children at the cyclical rate. But our founding fathers had a very optimistic view of our country for the future. That optimism still abounds. And frankly, their vision for America and the Declaration of Independence has proven to be very sound over the hundreds of years of our existence.
That's true. It's easy for me to get annoyed at paying $75 to fill a tank of gas and other kinds of things. And those are valid issues. But we got to remember the nation that we're in. And it began with the founding fathers. They created a country, a constitutional republic. There'd never been one before in the history of mankind. We live in an amazing country, don't we?
That's true. And obviously, you don't drive a big truck like I do, because I'm not filling my truck up for $70. It's a little more. But if you look at those incredible documents of the founding fathers, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, I mean, these are documents and their vision for how this country ought to operate, the separation of powers. We did not want one person. We were revolting from a monarch, from a king that basically was telling us everything that we could and couldn't do. And we didn't want to set that up. And so we've set up this constitutional democracy or republic that really gets shaky at times. And differences of opinion can get very pronounced. But in the final analysis, Winston Churchill once said, democracy is like a leaky raft. It's not perfect, but it's better than any of the other alternatives.
Well said. And one of the things our founding fathers made sure they didn't do is they didn't want to create a democracy, because in a pure democracy, majority rules. The majority could vote to take your family away from you or to make you a slave. We're in a constitutional republic. As you were talking about the Constitution with the amendments, the Bill of Rights, they protect us. We have more rights than you can imagine, and we don't imagine them because we grew up with them. We don't think about it.
That's right. And I mean, we live in a system of checks and balances and checks and balances. And that's why I'm a huge supporter of the filibuster in the United States Senate, where I was privileged to work for 24 years, because it protects the rights of the minority. Listen, conventional wisdom is not always right. I say with the greatest respect for our Pentagon, the Pentagon's not always right. They get things wrong all the time. And thank goodness we have a separate branch of government, the Congress, that oversees and raises armies and maintains navies. And thank goodness we have a judicial system where everyone is governed by the rule of law. And even though we may or may not agree with every decision that's down, most of the time you do have equal justice under the law, and it's a fair proceeding. And so the people that live in this country, unlike you and I that's traveled to some countries where we join people to fight for these kind of freedoms and people fought and died for them just like they did in our revolution, they don't have an appreciation for how tough it is in some countries where these freedoms do not exist.
That's true. And in a huge percentage of the world, they don't exist. Or if they do, it's local. It's not a guaranteed right. It's just a cultural thing. We don't know how much we haven't made. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing our nation with General Arnold Panaro. Arnold, it's amazing. And, you know, in 15 years of teaching American government in a local college, I started every class by asking, why do we celebrate the 4th of July? And in 15 years, I had one student who knew the answer. Oh, it's Independence Day, but what happened when? Our generations don't know our history. And if they did, they might appreciate it more. And that's sort of the responsibility of a family, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And you bring home an excellent point, because I worry, you hear from time to time, they're not teaching American history or American government. I remember when there were celebrations when the Berlin Wall fell down, and the Germans in that country that had fought the Nazis and had fought, you know, for freedom in World War II, in those countries, these were very sober and somber celebrations. But for the younger generation who had not lived through the World War or not lived through conflict, they didn't have any really frame of reference about what this was all about. So history is extremely important.
And yes, schools should teach it, but families should teach it, whether it's going to parades or decorating graves or just family discussions. That's where the average kid is going to learn most from their family tradition and what's important to the family.
You're exactly right, Denny. And I'll tell you, one of my worry beads for the future is there are so few families that have any connection to our military anymore. I'm very worried about that.
Yeah. If somebody left it up to me, and they will never do that, I think, we'd have a draft just so that everybody understands that with our rights comes the obligation to serve. But we certainly don't have that connection to anything of service, do we?
Well, in the National Commission that looked at this came up with a lot of good options. I don't think the body politic will ever let us go back to a draft. But I mean, there ought to be a concept of national service. People in this country ought to understand they have some obligation to give back. And many of them do. Look, I'm very optimistic. You and I have talked before. I've got 10 grandkids, four great adult kids in our 10 grandkids. And I work with young people all the time. I'm very optimistic about the future because of the younger generation, and many of them are very motivated to give back and to serve. And so we need to give them some meaningful opportunities to do that.
You know, that's a good point. We need to make sure there are opportunities for those who maybe have the inclination but are not sure how to. That's part of our job too, isn't it?
That's correct. And I mean, there's so many options. You can work in an elderly home. You can work in a homeless shelter. You can work in some kind of charity. You can work as a volunteer in a hospital. There's so many ways of service, and there's so many people in this country that need the help. And for those that say, oh, everybody should just live on their own, there are people that have disabilities beyond their own control that need outside help. And so everybody cannot be self-sufficient.
Well, I understand that. I'm 81 years old, and my ego and my body keep having arguments. My ego says I can do everything I used to do, and my body disagrees. And I got a funny feeling as time goes on, my body's going to win more of those arguments.
Like they say, old age is hell.
Well, but it beats the alternative.
You're right. You're exactly right.
There's more to discuss about our nation's challenges and benefits, and General Panero is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, many days. But then take a break and stay in the area. General Panero and I will be right back.
Nearly 30% of veterans have disabilities caused by military service. At Berry Law, we fight to make sure that every veteran receives full compensation for their injuries. Our team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees have helped veterans recover over $100 million in back pay from inadequate VA decisions. For a free consultation, call 888-883-2483.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off promo code FREEDOM and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with General Arnold Panero about our nation. As good as our nation is, there are some pretty serious things going on, and this is an election year. And if there ever was a time in our history, recurring times, that you can get the attention of politicians and have some say about who the politicians are going to be, it's this year. So there are some things that we want to make sure that we know where we stand, and we want to know where people we might vote for would stand on issues. And there are lots of issues. To me, one of the most pressing ones is our southern border, but our support of Ukraine, there's many, many issues. Where would you like to start?
Well, Denny, I think national security, border security is part of national security. Helping Ukraine defeat Russia is part of national security. I know there are those that worry about the risk of escalation in Ukraine vis-a-vis Russia, but I will tell you the risk of escalation is far less than the risk of Russia defeating Ukraine, which if that happened, it would send a terrible message to our adversaries, Iran, North Korea, and China, that they too could use military power to achieve their aims because they would see that the West did not come through in the final analysis. So defending and helping people fight for their freedoms, the freedoms that we have in Ukraine, is really essential to a strong national defense, as is border security. I mean, you can't have a secure country if your borders are not secure. I mean, Iranian borders were not secure vis-a-vis Russia, and Russia invaded their country. I'm not saying that's happening on the southern border. I'm just saying it all fits together. You know, there's not one single isolated thing that we can do to ensure our long-term freedoms and national security. There are many elements of that. And I think for people in an election year, they need to get educated and informed, one, on the issues, but two, on what do the various people they're going to vote for stand for, and make an educated vote, not just a vote.
Yes, sir. I have been fond of saying that voting stupid An example is, I always vote Republican, I always vote Democrat, I always vote pro this, I always vote anti that. Somebody gives me a list and I voted. I don't know who they are. I don't even know what the office is. We got to do better than that. This is our country, and we have the responsibility of making sure that it's well governed, right?
Absolutely. And I think an informed voter is the best kind of voter, and people need to get out and vote. It's really, really important to increase. I've always been in favor of moving votes to the weekend or have it be a holiday so it makes it easier. In the Western democracies in Europe, they do that. We don't do it here in the United States. We vote on Tuesdays.
Yeah. And there have been a couple of moves in Congress, I know, to make it a national holiday. And I would certainly favor that. I think we should have one voting day, and that's, and make it a national holiday, and let's do it. I mean, when you think about the consequences of how an election could go and the need for we the people to be part of it, it's almost self-evident, but somehow it hasn't made it through yet. Maybe sometime in the future. Maybe if we vote for the right people, this time it'll happen.
I mean, if you read the founding documents, it's a government by the people, for the people, and of the people. And if people don't vote, then that's not true anymore.
You know, that's very true. And I'm a committed Christian, and the Bible says we're supposed to be good stewards of the things that are given to us. Well, this country was given to us. We need to be good stewards. We need to take care of it. It's like if you get a car, you have to change the oil. It ain't going to change itself.
That's right. And I'll tell you, we owe the people that basically, going all the way back to our founding fathers, to the Revolution, that people that gave their lives for the freedoms that we have today. Every decade, there's a ceremony on or around Veterans Day, and we're going to do it again this year, where volunteers go down and read the names of every single person on the Vietnam Memorial Wall that was killed in Vietnam. And I'll be reading the names of some of the Marines that served with me that didn't make it back. But we're free today because of their sacrifice. We're free today because Herschel Woody Williams made the sacrifices at Iwo Jima with 18,000 of his fellow Marines in that battle. So we owe it to the people that basically give us the freedoms that we enjoy today to be active participants in the political process.
That's very true. And that can be running for local office. It can be working for a candidate that you believe will do a really good job. It can be lots of different things. I've often told people, you can be politically active if you'll give me 30 minutes a week just by being on email, communicating with people you think that would or should vote, and telling them what you've learned from your research. It's not that hard, but you got to do something, right?
Right. Totally agree.
Okay. And to go back for a minute to you discussed Ukraine. If Russia gets away with clobbering and capturing Ukraine, what other countries will Russia take on next? And as you pointed out, what other countries will China, Iran, other bullies or wannabe bullies, why wouldn't they take off? And I took a look at funding. If you add up all of the countries in Europe, the amount of money they're giving to Ukraine, it's less than 10% of what we're giving Ukraine. Yet they're the ones that are at risk. Russia will take them next, not us.
Right. I've said from day one, Denny, Putin will never stop with Ukraine. And because he takes his lessons from history and Catherine the Great in Russia that took over country after country after country. And, you know, he's not going to stop at Ukraine. And by the way, you're correct. If you look at what we've given, which is certainly more than our European allies, but if you look at collectively what we've given to Ukraine to defeat Russia, but the European nations who say they're not going to buy any more oil and gas from Russia have spent $100 billion on Russian oil and gas since the war started. Russia still ships 360,000 barrels of oil per day through the Black Sea, making $35 million while they're blocking Ukrainian grain. So basically, Russia won't stop if we don't stop them in Ukraine. Iran won't stop when they see that we can't stop Russia. They want to take over, you know, the Middle East. North Korea may say, okay, well, the artillery sure worked against Ukraine. Why don't we try our 14,000 artillery howitzers against Seoul? And China will say, okay, we're clear to go into Taiwan. So defeating Russia in Ukraine is essential.
Yeah, it is. And if we don't do it, well, you'd think that the people in Europe would figure that out. But as long as we'll carry the ball for them, why wouldn't they let us? I think that's a foreign policy issue we need to deal with, too. But first, we got to stop Russia. Am I right there?
Right. And I do think there's good unity in NATO. And I do think right now they're doing all the right things, except still purchasing oil and gas. But Putin is much more patient than the West. And he basically is calculating that the West is going to lose interest, that the economies that are hurting in the West, maybe not as much as Russia's economy is hurting. Although, again, Putin has all the money he needs to wage war. He doesn't think we have the patience in the West to stick it out. And so we've got to stick it out because, again, the consequences of failure are profound.
Yes, sir. That is incredibly true. Arnold, we've covered a good point today. What would you like to say as a wrap-up point, a takeaway for our listeners?
Well, Denny, I would like to say, and thank you for giving me the opportunity in this season of independence, when we basically in June and July, where we remember the Normandy invasion, when we, the United States of America, went and liberated the European continent from the scourge of Nazis, when we had Flag Day, when we had the July 4th, we can look forward to with optimism to the future of this country, because there's still people coming up in the system that basically have the same dedication and commitment that our founding fathers had, that those that have given their lives for our freedom over the years. So I think we can continue to be, despite what you see in the media about all the tensions and all the controversies about all these issues swirling around, despite the fact that there are a number of people that worry about, you know, the country being on the wrong track, I think we can still be very optimistic about the future.
Yes, sir. Arnold, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. All the different ways you've done it. I'm proud to call you friend.
Same here. Thank you.
This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with author Patrick Gandhi about his book on bouncing back. Then First Sergeant Walters, we'll just talk to him about he commands a mounted color guard. And then Chris Whitmore, Marine vet, will share his book, Terror to Triumph. And of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America report. Troops, I'm not fond of pain, and I absolutely won't use addicting products. That's why I can recommend Day 3 Creation products if you're in pain. Use the code FREEDOM when you order at day3creation.com and save 20%. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.